given me this talk, which I believe is very important for each one of us. And it ties up, as I've been listening this morning, to everything that we've been receiving from the Lord and people have been saying. Because the title of this is Courage to Break Through into God's Promises. Well, who thinks they don't need courage to sometimes break through into God's promises when you've got problems? We do. We need the courage to stand firm, and sometimes we flop about, don't we, and we fail. So let's just pray, shall we, before we start? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning that you would guide, lead, help and direct me, that I speak your word clearly and articulately in the way that you would have me, that each one of us, our hearts are impacted with the love of Christ, and we truly can move forward to break through with your precious promises. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The podium's wriggling, never mind. So, we're going to major in on Joshua. Last time when I preached, I finished up with Joshua, and I was talking about Numbers, the book of Numbers, when Joshua sent the 12 spies out to spy on the promised land. And if you recall, that was in Numbers 13, and somebody came up to me and said, I wish you'd enlarged upon that and really preached about it. So I thought, all right, Lord, well, perhaps this is the time to do that. So in Numbers 13, you don't need to go there, focus on Joshua, finding Joshua. In Numbers 13, Moses had sent spies out to spy out the promised land. And if you recall, there were 12 spies sent. And also, if you recall, of the 12 spies, 10 came back with a bad report, and 2 came back with a good report. The 10 came back and said, oh, it's big and scary, we can't cope, they're giants, doobie-doo. The 2, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, with our God, we can cope because our God can do the impossible. And really, when there's something so impossible and so problematic, that's when we really cry out and need God. Who knows, you've had things like that in your own life and you've had to call out to God to sort you out. Yes, all of us, all of us. So that's what we covered then. And then in Deuteronomy 1, we're reminded that Moses told the Israelites the story of all that happening. He told them all about that Numbers 13 story. And then at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses dies. Okay? And the mantle of the ministry passes over to Joshua. And that's where we're going to pick up today. Joshua, we're really going to major in on 3, but I just want us just to dip into Joshua 1. Because I think that sometimes, with wanting to break through and actually have God's promises manifest in my life, manifest in your life, we're not always strong and courageous. And if you read in Joshua 1, verse 2, just pick that out for example. The Lord is saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you, Joshua, and these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to give to the Israelites. Well, I mean, that's a bit of an impossible task to take a nation across a river that's in full flood. And here we are then, you go further down, verse 5, the middle of it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord. So be strong and courageous. Now, you just say those words and they don't sound much, but this is God speaking to Joshua. Joshua has had the mantle fall upon him to lead the nation, and he is going to believe what God says. But in case he doesn't believe it, verse 7, God says, be strong and very courageous, be careful to obey. Verse 8, keep this book of the law, in other words, the word, meditate on it day and night. So he's trying to encourage him. This is God trying to encourage Joshua. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Woo, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then when you get to the bottom of chapter 1, you get the Israelites have eventually grasped what Joshua is saying to them. And then they turn to him and say, well, lead us, but be strong and courageous, won't you? So we're starting to realize you have to have courage to break through into God's promises. So let's pick up now in chapter 3. And being as I never got it on the web and you didn't get an opportunity to read it, I will read it to us. So early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. That is about 900 metres, in case you wondered how much that was. Verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went on ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Woo! Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and any other ites that are in your life and my life, all right? So here we are, verse 11. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, sets foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Wouldn't the people like to see this in Kerala at the moment in the floods? Verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam, in the vicinity of Zarethan, and while the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And you think, wow, that was Old Covenant. But God can do the impossible. We are New Covenant believers. We are New Covenant believers. God can do the impossible in your life. Your life, your life, your life. God can do the impossible in my life. God can do the impossible in this church. God can do the impossible in our nation. And believe it or not, God can do the impossible in this world. Let's believe it. Will you believe it? Will I believe it? You and I need courage to believe this. Courage comes from our faith and trusting in God, that he will do what he says he will do. We've got three people being baptized this afternoon in the sea. Wonderful. They have got the courage to do it, and they know that they are doing something in obedience to the Lord. They are going to break through today into some newness by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord will touch them mightily. But the Lord wants to touch each one of us. He wants each one of us to have the courage to break through and to walk and live in his promises. And that's what we all want to do. But the trouble is, you and I keep looking back. Who looks back? Come on, we all do. Own up at times. We look back and we think, oh, it's not like it was. I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. He didn't do this right. She didn't do that right. They didn't do this right. The church didn't do this right. Work didn't do this right. School didn't do this right. Come on, it's endless. And we go through all these things and we lose the cutting edge of our faith. And God wants you and I to get that cutting edge back today. The Israelites had been guilty of looking back. They looked back and they moaned and they groaned. Oh, we'd rather go back into slavery in Egypt. At least we could have 3 square meals a day. Here we're on manna and quail. But God fed them, he watered them, he clothed them, and their shoes never wore out for 40 years. The God of the impossible. But they lost sight of the impossible and went down the negative. God wants you and I not to go down the negative. Our Heavenly Father is at work right now if you and I will believe it. God can do the impossible in your life and my life. His great and precious promises in his word are for you and for I. We are heirs of the promise. Hebrews 10:23 tells us, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Don't be paralyzed by your past. So you messed up. Repent and move on. It's a new day today, new every morning of God's mercies. There's always a fresh day and a fresh start. No matter what you've done wrong, what's happened in your past, things you wouldn't want people to know. But God knows, you can't hide it from him. God longs to pour out his spirit in supernatural power and abundance throughout the church. Not just this church, the church. But we've developed a heart condition. And do you know what that heart condition is called? Hardness of heart. And you say, what, me? Me? Hard of heart? All of us are at times. We have a Pharisaical attitude at times. Not me. I wouldn't be like a Pharisee. Yes. Yes, you would. So am I at times. And the Lord is saying to us, when we get stuck in the groove and we won't move, we're acting a little bit like that. We won't change. We get a little bit negative. We get a little bit critical. We may even get judgmental. And sometimes, believe it or not, we get self-righteous. I'm right. Who's ever said that? Yeah, Terry will tell you I have. And I was wrong. All right? We all get it wrong. It's no crime in getting it wrong. It's recognizing you got it wrong and having the courage to break through and do something about it. Discouragement will cripple us. Discouragement crippled the Israelites. Joshua would not allow himself to be discouraged. He looked to God, the author and perfecter of his faith. Discouragement will pull you down. But if only, no, not if only, it will pull you down. Don't look to the things that are wrong in our lives. Look to Christ, look to Christ. The word will build you up. Encouragement will build you up. Looking to Christ will build you up. The Holy Spirit will build you up and you will rise on eagle's wings. Worship will build you up. Wasn't it lovely this morning when we worshiped together and the Lord was moving by his Spirit? It will build you up. Don't go out the door and get torn down immediately with discouragement. Yes, but it's still the same as when I went in. Move on and move up with Christ. Don't bend the knee to those thoughts. Don't bend the knee to bad words. You can, you are good enough, and God wants to use you and God wants to use me. So shake off any discouragement you've got today. Shake it off. Just have a shake and say, no, that's gone. That was yesterday. I'm going to do things different today. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be an encourager. And I'm going to be encouraged by other people. Just turn to your neighbour or just grab somebody nearby you and say, do you know God's got a good plan for your life? Believe it and walk in it. Come on, don't be shy. Just do it with somebody. Because God has got a good plan for your life and he wants you to believe it and to walk in it no matter what has happened to you today, this week, or at all. That's right. Leap up. Walk over the seats and tell someone. Thank you. Because we need that encouragement. Who needed that encouragement today? Yes. Loads of hands have gone up. Thank you. If you want breakthrough in your life, you've got to help others break through. You've got to be an encourager. A somewhat impossible barrier in our life, do you realize it bothers you? It bothers me. But you've got to take your mind off of it and put it on to God can deal with the impossible. The Jordan was in full flood, you know. And Joshua trusted God. He trusted God's word and he walked by faith, which enabled the whole nation to cross over. Do you not think the priests who had to place their feet in the water might have thought, has Joshua got it all together? Because until they actually put their feet in the water, it didn't stop flowing. They had to do that act. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. But I've got news for you. You carry the presence of God in you if you've asked the Lord Jesus into your heart. So why are we so discouraged at times? Why are we so apprehensive? Why are we so nervous? Why are we saying, I can't? Why are we saying, let somebody else do this or that? We need to realize where they crossed over, the river was in full flood. That river was about 100 feet wide where they crossed, which is about 31 meters, something like that. And it was normally about 3 to 10 feet deep, which is about 1 to 3 meters deep. But this had overflowed its banks. It was everywhere. Look at Kerala with the floods. It was everywhere in Kerala, or is everywhere. It was the same with the Jordan. It took courage for those priests to put their feet in the water, but they believed they were carrying God with them. We have his Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Do you know the news media tell us all the time, don't get into flood water. It'll pull you under. It sucks you under. But they trusted what Joshua said because Joshua trusted God. If they stood there in fear, the water would not have stopped flowing. Let's arise and take that first step of faith today. You know, maybe you haven't been in a good place with the Lord. Maybe you're absolutely on fire with the Lord. I don't know. But today, why doesn't each one of us say, you know, I am going to break through. I'm going to have that courage. I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I am going to walk in God's promises. If he said it, believe it. Yes. Amen. You know, you get a bad doctor's report. We've had them. We know. When Terry had the label rheumatoid arthritis years ago, he said to the specialist, you can put the label in the overcoat, but I won't wear it. He didn't acknowledge he hadn't got that label. He didn't want to wear it. Look at him. God healed him. God restored him. Yes, all those years ago. But what I'm saying to you is God has no favourites. What God does for one, he wants to do for all because he loves his kids. Amen? We are all children of the living God. We need to start to speak the word of authority, God's word of authority over our situations and push through. I don't care what your problem is. It could be financial. It could be relational. It could be business. It could be your job. It could be your kids. It could be pornography. It could be drink, drugs, anything. I've covered quite a range there, but there's more. God wants, through the power of his Holy Spirit and his word, to give you the courage today to break through and say, enough, it is finished. I am going to walk in those promises. Do you know, scripture tells us, let me get it, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ. Amen. In Christ. We are in Christ. So no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ. I am going to walk in those promises. And when I get negative or critical or judgmental, say this to yourselves as well. I am going to pull my socks up and say, no, in Jesus' name, it is finished. I am going to walk in God's promises. I'm going to do it. 4 points that will help you and I have the courage to break through and possess the promises of God. Because it's no good me speaking all this to you without I give you some keys to apply to your life and my life, right? Firstly, find God's promise for you in the Bible regarding your situation. I speak to many people who have problems, whatever, and I say to them, what scripture are you standing on? By his wounds I'm healed. Lovely. What is the scripture? And they don't know because they've just suddenly Baptist scripture that came into their mind. I want to encourage all of you. I started years ago, when I first became a spirit-filled believer, a little scripture book of promises that I found in the Bible and I wrote them out. They are there. I have healing ones at the back. They are there. So if I need things and I don't know where to go in the Bible because you can't think straight sometimes, I have a little book. Why don't you start a little book of God's promises? As you read the Bible and you pull things out, write them down. The other thing I commend to you, and we have them in the church, God's Creative Power for Healing, God's Creative Power for Finances by Charles Capps, little booklets. Very encouraging, help you when you're not sure where to go. And then our churches, God's Healing Promises. Once again, scriptures that will help you. Write things down and use them. It's no good if you haven't got a promise of God to stand on. There's approximately 7,500 promises in the Bible, and they're for you and for me. They apply to your situation. Use them, use them. See yourself living in that promise. When Terry had that rheumatoid arthritis, the vision he had in his mind was him running down the prom. In the physical, that was impossible. But in the spiritual, he saw the picture. When a woman knows she's pregnant, they don't see just a little embryo. They see a full-grown baby. And it's got to grow for 9 months. But they don't see the baby growing. They see the finished result. They go and buy the clothes for the baby. When you actually got this scripture, live the scripture. Focus on the scripture. Get the scripture in the sump of your spirit. So that scripture is what's guiding you, leading you, directing you. You're feeding on it. You're feeding on it. You see the finished result. Be it you need a job, you see the job. Our Sean saw jobs. He got jobs. Do you see what I'm trying to say to you? Visualize it. Shut your eyes and see it on a little telly screen inside your brain. I am restored. I am restored. God loves me. I'm a child of God. See it. Picture it. Look, a farmer, when he sows the seed, because your word, this is seed. When a farmer sows the seed, he doesn't sow it one day and go and dig it up the next and say it's not growing. So why do we sow the word and then within 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, dig it up and say, hasn't worked. I haven't got the job. I'm not restored. I'm not walking in health and wholeness. Why do we do it? Because all we do is undermine the seed. If the farmer did that, he'd never have a harvest. He has to tend it, water it, weed it, keep the pests away, and then he has a harvest. Now, just give you an instant on pests. We moved 3 months ago, and the building we moved into, it's an apartment, had been empty for a long time. Pigeons. They are a pest, all right? They are a big pest. Somebody called them the rat of the skies. I think that was a carpenter. But anyway, you might like pigeons, so excuse me if I said that. But we didn't know how to get rid of them, and we looked online, and it said, they are a trouble, and they trouble you. And suddenly, Terry and I said, and we trouble trouble. So when those pigeons are flying around or wanting to land, Terry goes out with a big cane. He's only got to open the door now with a big cane. He's never touched a pigeon. They are terrified of him. So we are troubling the trouble. So why have I shared that with you? Because you can trouble your trouble. So somebody's winding you up. Well, don't let them trouble you. You go to them and be kind and loving. But trouble, trouble. Just keep that in mind. First point. That is, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish through lack of knowledge. Second point, learn to believe and trust God's word that we receive his promise even when we do not see immediate breakthrough. Well, you realised that I've dipped into that before I should have done by telling you to visualise it and to see it. But anyway, they are the two major points there. It's not just head knowledge, it's a knowing deep inside. It's a knowing that it will come to fruition. Joshua, going back to Joshua, he had to really know and trust God by sending the priests with the Ark of the Covenant into the water. It wasn't clearing a path to go into, it was putting your feet in it. So he really had to trust and believe, even when we don't see immediate breakthrough. Do not allow doubt, unbelief, or fear to enter our hearts, which in turn nullify God's word. If we've done this, just repent and start over. As we said at the beginning, new every day are his mercy. So let's just say, sorry, Lord, and start afresh. Get God's promises deep into our hearts. Thirdly, learn only to speak the promises. Not what you see with your physical eyes, but what you see with your spiritual eyes. Ooh, isn't that hard? I don't mean deny the facts. If you've got a broken leg, you've got a broken leg. You've got the flu, you've got the flu. The one thing you can say is, I know that I might have the flu or a broken leg, but God's word says, by his wounds I'm healed, and I'm going to walk in that healing that Jesus paid for, because I don't want the flu and I'm not having the flu. Amen? Don't deny the facts, but facts are subject to change. The facts Terry had, he hung up in the overcoat. Facts are subject to change. Truth, the word of God, never changes. That was the third point. Don't feed the negative. Feed the spiritual. And fourthly, praise worship, just what we did this morning. They're the four major points. God inhabits the praises of his people, Psalm 22:3. We had that scripture this morning. Do you know Joshua, when he wanted to take Jericho, what did God tell him to do? Send the singers out first and praise and worship. And they went round and round Jericho, didn't they? And then the walls came down when the trumpet blew. So praise, God inhabits our praises. It lifts your spirit. Put praise music on at home. Sing. Read your word. People say, I can't read the word. Well, sing. Because then you, when you're singing, you can't be thinking negative things at the same time. Paul and Silas in Acts 16:16-34, cast an evil spirit out of a female slave girl who was telling fortunes, and she made a lot of money for her owners. And as they cast this evil spirit out, the mob set upon them, and they were flogged and put into jail, and they were put into deep inner jail. If you want to make a note, Acts 16:16-34, you can read it at home. And they're in chains in the deepest pit of the jail. And at midnight, they're not saying, oh, woe is me, what's going to happen? These rats are nibbling my toes. They didn't say any of that. They started to praise God and sing and worship. And the other prisoners started to listen. Praise releases us, because God inhabits our praises when they're from our heart. Yes? And we all know what happened. An earthquake, angels, whatever you like to say that God did, the doors of the prison opened and the chains fell off them and they were all free. And you'd have thought they'd have said, run, boys, run, wouldn't you? But they didn't. They stayed. And all the other prisoners stayed. And they led the jailer and his family to the Lord. And they were all baptized. Amen? I mean, we just got to realize that when we struggle with things, it's all in the Word. It's all in the Word. We've only got to read it and start to see and encourage ourselves. Two scriptures that will encourage us. And Terry read one this morning, 2 Peter 1. Let's just dip back into that before I wrap up. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power, whose divine power? God's, has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. To flip over the page, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, I think it is. Yes, 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you and me, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So I'm going to sum up. Don't you think you and I need a different spirit when the going gets tough? Because I believe we all do. And if we start to do it, it will become more like a habit that we do it when the going gets tough. Because we all face obstacles, we all face problems, and I know there's several people in here today facing quite difficult things. So I would encourage, see, I'm using that word encourage, each of you in here who know the Lord, to let a spirit of faith rise up in you. Courage well up in you that you can break through and walk in God's promises. God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Let's believe it. Let's cross into the plans and promises that he has for you, every single one of us, for this church, for this country, for this nation, for this world. Do you know, Jesus trained a handful of disciples and the world was turned upside down. You think, what can happen with me? God and you a lot, because our God can do the impossible. Will you let him do the impossible through you? Will you have the courage to break through and walk in his promises? Shall we pray as we just sum this all up? Just bow your heads. Just before I pray, if there's anybody who doesn't know the Lord here and would like to know him this morning, just raise your hand. Nobody else can see. Everybody's got their eyes shut. Thank you. So, Father, as we pray together this morning, we thank you that we are children of the promise, and we want to be children who walk in your promises, the promises that are written in your last will and testament to us, the Bible, the Word. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus was the Word, the living Word. Thank you, Lord, and as we read your Word, the Bible, we see Jesus. And Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. We pray for your Holy Spirit to touch each one of us this moment now, in a few moments of silence, that we have the courage to stand up in our own individual lives and break through and walk into those promises that are there for us that we've never bothered to claim, proclaim, or possess. Just in this few moments of silence, just privately talk to the Lord. And as we pray now, there was a song that I really love, Elevation Worship music. I've been playing it a lot. And this song this week leapt out, and I didn't think that the band would know it in time for today. But the words I've written down, and I'm going to use them as we still got our eyes shut in prayer. So these are the words of that song, Your Promises. When the weight of life begins to fall, on the name of Jesus, I will call. For I know my God is in control, and his purposes are unshakable. It doesn't matter what I feel or see, because my hope will always be your promises to me. I'm casting out all fear because your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. You will always be more than enough for me as I walk into the days to come. I will not forget what you have done. Nothing is going to stop the plans you made. Nothing is going to take your love away from me. You will always be more than enough for me. And Father, as I've shared those words of that song, I proclaim over each one of us that you will always be more than enough for us. And we will have courage to break through. We will stand up and say, yes, you have a good plan for our lives, and we want to walk in it. And we can, and we will, and we are. And we will walk in your promises, proclaiming them, possessing them, reveling in them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. And everybody said, Amen.